What's up, Boos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, which today is at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators are in action tonight, hosting John Hines and the Minnesota Wild. How do you think he's going to be met with tonight? What kind of reaction from the Preds fans do you think?
Wow. I think it'll be a golf clap? I think it will be respectable. I think our fans are respectable. Now, when you get inside the game and you start playing, yeah, boom all you
story.
Want to.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're going to do something at the beginning or in the middle. It's going to be – I think it will be respectable. I think it will be hand claps and, you know, whatnot. And it's not going to be a, yes.
John.
It's not going to be that.
But no, it
I
will
think
not.
I think we have classy fans. So, you know, they may.
Yeah, just a sweet little, cute little golf clap.
Or
just
snap.
All right, get on with it. Yeah,
do that.
A snap. Just a little bit of a, oh, wow,
exactly.
He's back.
Yeah.
We'll be at the game tonight, so I'm excited to see what the reaction will be from Preds fans. Excited to see what Willie thinks. We'll get his perspective on that. Willie's wrapping up at morning skate, so he'll join us shortly. Predators in action tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. All of your pregame action starting at 6 p.m. We'll also hear from Elliot Friedman at 1 p.m. Get his thoughts on what he's seen from this red-hot Predators team going for 7 wins in a row. Knock on wood. Not going to jinx it. Mm-hmm. But I want to start on – before we start, D-Mace, I want to hear about your day yesterday.
Oh, yes. I was I drove the lead car, the pace car. In yesterday's parade.
It was a Mustang?
It was a Mustang Mach 1. I believe that's what it was, a Mach 1. And beautiful car. Beautiful car, I tell you. I texted my son. I FaceTimed him. And just to show him the car. And I was in the car with Mike Gorgon as well. But I took a picture of the car, sent it to my son. And he was like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's a Mach 5. How fast does it go? And then I video, you know, I FaceTimed him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, can you go fast? I'm like, Derek, I can't go fast. I mean, there's a police in front of me. And
you
it's
can't
a parade.
Just skirt past the police car.
I can't just skirt past the police car. You know, it was a wonderful time. I enjoyed every bit of it. You know, thanks to everyone that helped put this together. At least for me to be able to go out there and, you know, just enjoy the moment. You know, I'm not going to say I grew up watching NASCAR because I didn't, but I respect the longer I've been here covering sports, I respect the sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a sport. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't think it was a sport. But try driving those cars, you know, for hours.
Yeah.
It is a sport, I tell you that. It
High
takes a lot.
Sport
exactly.
That one.
So I want to thank, you know, the Nashville Super Speedway for allowing me to, you know, be out there and be a part of the parade. It was, you know, up Broadway, came back around and went down to Mumbrium and back in front of the Music City Center.
Such a cool backdrop.
Yeah,
such
it was
a cool
great.
Experience.
It was great. I enjoyed it. So, you know, it was fun. I would do it again if they asked me. So, thank you to all those who put it together. I put up pictures and everything else. You can, you know, go to my my Instagram and you can see a lot of it. So I enjoyed every minute of it. It was fun. I wish they would have let me really like drive a car.
Rev
like,
the engine.
Rev the engine up. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to so bad. But
push over 200.
Exactly. Oh, I would have tried.
If you get that one opportunity, you don't get many opportunities like that.
Exactly.
Pedal to the metal.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm glad that you had a good experience. Shout out to Thank the Nashville you. Super Speedway. Maybe next year. Maybe one of these days.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe one of these days I'll...
I don't think they're going to let you...
Maybe not, but a girl can dream. But a girl can dream. Anywhere can be a racetrack if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah, you're right about that.
All right, let's get into it because we are just a couple of days away from the Tennessee Titans hosting the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. And I always like to look at TDs, practice recaps, Paul Kaharsky's, all of our local media. They'll post updates from practice and videos from practice. Since they do start practice in the middle of our show, we're not able to be there. I always like to catch up to see, you know, what are the updates? Who's out there? Who looks good? Who might not be out there? Who's coming back? Who's returning? TD tweeted out a video of Will Levis. And you can find that video on his Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. He posted a video of Will Levis walking very gingerly. Mm-hmm. He was rolling out, and it was kind of awkward. It looked like, whether it was his foot or his ankle, it looked like he was in pain. And that concerns me. It concerns me for a lot of reasons. It concerns me because this really has been our concern about Will Levis ever since he took over. It's been our concern about the quarterbacks in general, whether it's Will Levis, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, whether it's Malik Willis behind this offensive line. I mean, it already got Ryan Tannehill hurt, yeah. And now just based off of this video. Now, I'm not reporting anything. I don't know what the deal is with Will Levis, but it looked like he was dealing with a little something-something. How concerned are you about Will Levis?
You know, I am concerned because he's – he's getting, you know, pushed around, knocked down, beat up. I wonder if it has anything to do with 2 games ago when he took that kind of awkward fall when he went to
Tampa Bay.
I think it was Tampa when he went to scramble, and it was kind of an awkward sort of – it seemed like he had hurt his knee, and he ran for a couple of yards. I think he ended up getting the first down. He got up. He was limping, I think, throughout that game. Mm-hmm. But they never said anything else about it after that. Mm-hmm. I think he may have mentioned it in the post-game presser. But it did seem a little – that play seemed a little weird. Mm-hmm. I thought he hurt his knee, but he ended up getting back up and walking off. So it could be contributed to that. Mm-hmm. Or it just could be, you know, late in the season, he's getting beat up and pushed around and knocked down and – you know, you may have a tweaked ankle or something like that. So, but I am concerned moving forward because it's not going to – it doesn't seem like it's going to get better, meaning the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to continue to take hits like that, you know, I think Tim Kelly's going to have to really sort of put this offense together. And not to say that he's not doing that, but he's really going to have to be conscious of the offensive line, because the last thing you want to do is get this young man hurt.
And he is listed on the injury report. He was limited yesterday with an ankle. I believe it was the Tampa Bay game, uh-huh, where there was a video of Will Levis's ankle getting taped up, mm-hmm, on the sideline because he got up and, yeah, he winced a little bit. And remember, he was dealing with a foot at Kentucky. He had, uh-huh, the foot injury, underwent surgery for his foot. So at first I thought that it was re-aggravation of, uh-huh, the original foot injury listed as an ankle. And the way that he was kind of walking yesterday in practice, just based off that video we saw from TD, it looked like an ankle thing. So one thing that I'm concerned about is getting your now starting quarterback hurt. I mean, obviously, that puts, yeah, you at a disadvantage. The second thing is if you put Will Levis out there with a hobbled ankle, and of course you can wrap it up, you can do as much as you possibly can, that limits his mobility.
Yeah.
And the mobility aspect behind this offensive line is paramount. We saw that with Ryan Tannehill whenever we saw his ankle get a little bit banged up, and it was basically a sitting duck.
Yeah.
And behind that offensive line, you can't afford to do that. And part of what makes Will Levis, I think, so impressive and so effective is the fact that he can escape pressure, that he can use his legs to extend plays, that he can step up in the pocket and try and evade a sack. So that worries me if he cannot move himself.
Yeah, it should be. I'm sure the Titans are going to closely monitor it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't even think you throwing Ryan Tannehill back out there, you know, makes anything even any better. Because now you got a guy that's coming off a high ankle sprain, and putting him back out there in that situation with the ability for him to, you know, injure that ankle again like he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had a high ankle sprain. He went back in the game, you know, went back as the starting quarterback a few games later, and what did he do? Re-aggravate the ankle, so much so that he had to have the tightrope surgery. So you don't want to put him back out there in that same situation. But you don't want to have your young quarterback out there, mm-hmm. You know, getting beat up and everything else. So I'm sure there's going to be a big emphasis on protecting Will Levis. Maybe some quick passing, getting the ball out of his hand very quickly, being strategic about, you know, how they do their play action or deep passes. I'm sure a lot of it will come off of the play action of Derrick Henry or Tajay Spears.
And that's how this offense exactly. is really predicated. That's how the meat and potatoes of this offense. But I do wonder at this point, and I don't know the severity of Will Levis's ankle. Again, we're not able to be out of practice. I see one video on TD's Twitter that shows him a little hobbled, and he is listed on the injury report. But at this point, who gives the Titans the best chance to win? Is it Will Levis or is it Ryan Tannehill? And I know a lot of you listening are probably thinking, it doesn't matter. Winning games doesn't matter. Just tank, get a better draft pick. Mm-hmm. It matters to them. This coaching staff wants to win football games. We're seeing the toll that it has taken on Mike Vrabel, the questions about his job security, mm-hmm. the questions about his relationship with Rand Carthon. I'm sure it's taking a toll on that entire locker room. Like, losing is hard. They want to win football games. So while your perspective might be tank and move on, get a better draft pick, that's not their perspective. So the question that they are asking themselves is, who gives us the best chance to win?
I still believe, and I'm not going to, you know, come off of it. I think Will Levis gives him the best opportunity to win.
I agree.
You know, I think it would be good for the Titans to get more wins under this young guy's belt so he can gain more confidence. Not that he's not gaining the confidence as he plays, but winning, you know, gives you that extra, you know, sort of extra breed or extra feel of, okay, I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we're doing. I can win. We can win with me as quarterback. So the players are not thinking about tanking because, you know, players, I don't think, at least I have not been involved or experienced a player saying, you know what, man, let's just tank. You
let's
know,
get a better draft pick.
After you get, you know, so far in the season, you know you're not going to playoff. Man, let's just tank. You know, let's get a better draft pick. Well, that's not – if it was your team – then maybe you can think that way. But it's not your team. You got a job to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, players don't think that way. Players don't go out there, oh, let's tank, because your job is on the line. You know, you go out there and purposely drop passes or purposely throw interceptions or miss tackles or line up in the wrong position too many times, you're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to even be here when the tanking and rebuild starts to – you know, happen. So players don't think that way. We go out there and we play. We are when you get in situations like this, a lot of guys are playing for their jobs. A lot of guys are playing for contracts. So to me, if not anything else, those are your motivations.
Mm-hmm.
You're auditioning for 31 other teams, and you're trying to get a pay raise. So that should make you go out there and play hard, mm-hmm. you know. You going out there not giving it 100% does nothing for you, nor does it, you know, do anything for the team, positive anyway. So when it comes to players, we go out there and play. We don't worry about, you know, what draft pick we're going to get. I don't think guys – I never experienced a guy say, man, we may get the number one pick or the number two pick or the top 10 pick. No, we don't want a top 10 pick.
That's embarrassing.
We want to be at the bottom of the first round.
Before.
Exactly. We want to be at the bottom of the first round, which, you know, in my career, that's where we were
mm-hmm.
most of the time. We were at the bottom, you know, at the bottom half of the NFL in picking, unless we made some trades and was able to, you know, move up. But for the most part, I think in my 15 years, you know, we may have had two or three that were top 15 picks, you know, other, you know, based upon our record. Mm-hmm. Now, we may have moved up because of, you know, some trades or something like that. But based upon our record, you know, I think the worst record I had here was a 4-12 season, I think. Or 6-10. 4-12 might have been the worst. That was the 04 season when everyone was hurt. Mm-hmm. But other than that, we were always either, you know, above that 500 or we were one of the better teams, you know, in the National Football League. So I never experienced that.
It was just a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
Now I have to experience that. Mm-hmm. But this is what frustrates me, D-Mace. And this is something that we've been pounding on the table for so long, since training camp, since the beginning of the season. But now it's rearing its ugly head again. And that was not doing enough to address the offensive line. Mm-hmm. It makes me frustrated that they didn't do more. They didn't invest more in the offensive line when we knew after how bad the offensive line was last season, it needed some serious TLC. And I know you took an offensive lineman with your first round pick. Mm-hmm. It needed more than that. That it was so bad in training camp. They didn't do more to address it, and it has been so bad since then. And now, here you are. Your starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, got injured. And now your backup, now your starter, Will Levis, your quarterback of the future, supposedly. Right now, I think it's your best asset that you have on your team, your most valuable asset. Mm-hmm. Now this offensive line may have gotten that quarterback hurt. So it frustrates me whenever Mike Vrabel tells the media, I think there's too much being made about how bad the offensive line is. Or when I asked Mike Vrabel about a month or so ago, why wasn't there more done to address the offensive line in the offseason? And he said, well, I disagree that we don't struggle blocking. We just can't get in drop back passing situations. Like, Mike, what? Don't you get up there and tell us, the media, and tell the fans that there is too much being made about how much the offensive line is struggling when you've gotten two quarterbacks hurt now.
Yeah.
And, of course, we don't know the severity of Will Levis, but.
I think that was his answer, and this is only, you know, my opinion. Mm-hmm. His answer, when you answer it in that fashion, it's like, I know more than you know. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. When in actuality – no, because what we are addressing is what we're seeing.
Yes.
And it's a bad offensive line. And
it's not that hard to see how bad it is.
Exactly. And when you say we don't want to get into too many, what did he say?
We just can't get in drop-back situations.
Drop-backs. Isn't the NFL –
That's part of the job.
Part of the job. Okay. If you're trying – if this is a play on words, drop-back meaning getting up underneath center and drop – how many times do you do that anyway? How many times does NFL teams do that anyway? A lot of teams like to be in this pistol or, you know, just shotgun.
Out of shotgun.
Because this is what these kids are learning in college. Mm-hmm. So they want to allow these young men to feel comfortable when they get in the league. So a lot of stuff is done out of, you know, out of shotgun. Mm-hmm. Just say where the quarterback's not
under center.
Absolutely. So when you say, well, drop back, well, how many teams do drop backs? You know? So what you're saying essentially, you can't pass the ball? Is that what you're telling me?
So the offensive line cannot do half of what their job
is. Exactly.
You run block and you pass protect.
Half your job is to pass protect.
And you can't even run block.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Half of your running comes from Derrick Henry just finding holes and turning nothing into something.
Exactly. So I think that was it. The answer was, at least in my opinion, it was, I know more than you. We'll be fine. When in actuality, Mike, y'all are not fine.
Don't give me that.
Yeah, that this offensive. And I understand why he did it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I know. I understand it. You don't want to throw the offensive lineman under the bus. You know, they're part of the team. I get it. But don't try to, you know, don't sprinkle coffee on me and tell me it's raining, okay? You know, I can feel I smell it, and it's a little hot. I know it's coffee.
I know what my eyes
see. Exactly.
It's the same thing like when Mike Vrabel, I forgot who asked the question. It may have been Jared. The question was asked about what makes you think that you have the right coaching staff in place, and he said, because I played in this league. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean –
a lot of people have played
in this
league.
A lot of people played in this league. You played in the league.
Exactly. But that don't mean you always get it right when it comes to coaching staff. There are a lot of coaches that have either played in this league or been in this league a long time. Mm-hmm. And they always find themselves doing what? recycling coaches.
Hiring and firing.
So, again, that's one of those, you know, answers, I know more than you.
It sounds like a very parent because
exactly.
I said so answer.
Because I said so, yeah.
Like,
so that's what
played
he should have just said.
Yeah, because I said so.
I said so, yeah.
Yeah. So that is the incredibly frustrating thing that ever since the beginning, when it seemed like is the Eagles' backup left tackle, that's your master plan at addressing this offensive line that needs some serious renovation. The things that seem very obvious from the beginning, those things aren't getting addressed. And then now here you are. You traded up in the second round to take who you believe to be your quarterback of the future. And now he is put in a difficult situation. Now he finds himself on the injury report because he cannot seem to stay upright because this offensive line can't protect for him. It's incredibly frustrating. But when it comes to the game Sunday, I heard Robbie and Joe talking about this morning. I said, what's the best thing for Will Levis? What's the best decision for Will Levis? I think it's still playing on Sunday. And I don't know the severity of his injury. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, the injury report and videos from practice can really only tell us so much. Mm-hmm. But I think playing Sunday is still the best thing for Will Levis, and I still think it's the best thing for this team.
Yeah, I believe it is. And it depends on, you know, the severity of the ankle. If he's able to go out there and practice and do much of what they're asking him to do, then he's going to play Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want to get into this, you know, back and forth. If he's hobbled a little bit, it's a part of football. Mm-hmm. It's a long season. It's a grueling sport and a very physical sport. But if he's still able and capable at doing his job, then, okay, go out there and play. Mm-hmm. We can minimize the pain a little bit with, you know, a shot or something like that. But other than that, you know, if you can go out there and you can do your job the way you want to do it, then we're going to put you at quarterback. Because my thing is, you don't put Ryan Tannehill back underneath center unless you have nobody. Like, it's apparent that he can't play, mm-hmm. meaning Will Levis. Like, that's the only way you put Ryan Tannehill. And even in that situation, honestly, other than I look at the beginning of the season, I look at what Ryan was able to do and what he wasn't able to do. I mean, he had some bad games, not interception-wise, but missing the guys and guys dropping passes.
Overthrows. Underthrows.
He's had games like that. But I think he was okay considering what was in front of him.
I didn't think that he was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than the Saints game. He was very much the problem.
He was the problem in the Saints game. Yeah. But other than that, I don't think he was the problem. But, okay, moving forward, if you throw him back in there, a guy that will not be with this team next year, if he gets hurt again, that's just something I think if he wants to continue to play, he needs to think about, he and his agent.
Then you are going to continue to go down the revolving door of the quarterbacks mm-hmm. of this guy's hurt, now that guy's hurt, now this guy's healthy enough, put him in there, and then he gets hurt again, because that's just how bad this offensive line truly is. That's how paralyzing this offensive line is to this team. So that is where we're starting today. Will Levis, a video on TD's Twitter yesterday, looking a little bit hobbled. He is listed on the injury report, was limited in practice with an ankle injury. But coming up next, maybe some positive injury news, but how much can we really expect? How much are we really holding our breath, waiting for more to come from this guy? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Caroline Willie DeMays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Imagine training and protocol. Are you hopeful that he can take another step and get back on the
field? I'm hopeful for a lot of things, Jim, but I'll just wait, you know, and see whenever the player, in this particular case, Traylon, clears the protocol, then we'll practice with them, no different than if that was anybody else, or hopeful that we get all our players back that aren't playing right now. So whatever that is, that's what it'll be. And that's all I can say, just because that's how you're supposed to operate within the protocol.
Whatever it is, that's what it'll be. All right, put that on a poster.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my slogan.
Whatever it is, that's what it is.
That's cool. What it will be.
Got it. Like that. Noted.
Simple.
Thanks, Mike. But that was Mike Vrabel last week on Treylon Burks. And the way that Mike Vrabel answered that, I thought, it just doesn't sound very promising for Treylon Burks. But Titans back out of the practice field yesterday, and so was Treylon Burks. He was limited yesterday, still in concussion protocol, but just based off of my understanding, there's different kind of tiers to concussion protocol that you can still be in concussion protocol but be cleared to practice. And then once you get evaluated throughout a couple of practices, that's when you get fully cleared to be 100% a go for a game. So Treylon Burks was out of practice yesterday. Again, looking at TD's Twitter, some clips that he put out there. Treylon Burks was in drills, looked, you know, I'm no doctor, but looked fine to me based off of some of the clips that that TD put out there. Don't know if he's going to be good to go for the game, but the Titans will be back out in the practice field today. But I'll be honest with you, D-Maze. I don't expect anything from Treylon Burks at this point, and I hate that I feel that way, and I hate that we've gotten to this point with Treylon Burks because he is so uber-talented. He simply just cannot stay healthy. I can't expect anything from him, and anything that you do get from him is just net positive at this point.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the last two seasons. He's been hampered with some type of injury, whether, you know, lower extremities, knees, whatnot, concussion.
Now two concussions.
Yeah, two concussions in back-to-back. That's not good. So it's unfortunate for the young man that he hasn't been able to find him, you know, to be consistently on the field. And then what compounds that even more, that when he's on the field, he's not as productive as many want. He's dropped too many passes. And when I say too many passes, I think he has, four drops, somewhere around there, three, four drops.
He doesn't get targeted very often.
Yeah, but that's just too many for a guy of his caliber. I mean, a guy that has his potential. And they've been just lack of concentration drops. They've been wide open drops. You know, it hadn't been highly contested drops. You know, they've been
like hit you in the hands and you can't hold on to it.
You know, you just wide open sitting there and you can't hold on to it. And that's another thing. I mean, he just hasn't, you know, been targeted enough even when he played. And that falls on Tim Kelly. It falls on Tim Kelly. And, you know, it falls on the quarterback trying to find other options outside of D-Hop. Because, you know, regardless of how the season ends up for this team, you want, as a quarterback, to know you can rely on other guys. You know, you get used to throwing to guys. You get a rapport. You build that rapport. I know how he likes, you know, for me to throw the ball here, or I know how the quarterback would like for me to be in position here and finding the holes. If you don't target a guy enough, then you don't build that rapport. I looked at this yesterday, day before yesterday, and I'm looking at it again right now. DeAndre Hopkins has 83 targets, which that's nothing wrong, and he should be a guy that is targeted the most. Why? Yeah. Because he's proven in his league that he's going to catch the ball and make plays for you. So I'm not talking about his targets, but when the next guy is only next receiver, not tight end, the tight end and the running back are the two guys that are targeted the most outside of DeAndre Hopkins. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 36 times. Chris Moore, 20 times. Treylon Burks, 18 times. He's played 5 games, and you've only targeted him 18 times.
That's your first round pick.
That's embarrassing. That's truly embarrassing. And that's something that they need to take note of. Now, listen, they can't do anything about him not being on the field. They have no control over that. But when you're on the field, he's floated too many times. I've said this over and over, and I've repeated it. They allow him to float too long in a game, and then you try to give him the ball in the second quarter or the third quarter, and it's like, dude, he's floated. These reverses you give him, no. Throw the man the ball. Allow him to catch the ball and get into a rhythm. Receivers like getting into a rhythm. So allow him to do that. Allow guys like Chris Moore, who has proven that they can make plays for you. allow them to get into a rhythm. You're not allowing these other pass catchers to get into a rhythm and go out there, and then all of a sudden, listen, they got to do their job.
Yeah.
When the ball comes to them, I don't care if you were, you know, you hadn't been targeted all game. If they target in the fourth quarter, you need to catch the ball. I understand that part. But for a receiver, I have to feel like I'm a part of what's going on and not just a guy out there blocking. You know,
yeah.
That wears on a guy. Vrabel could say all he wants to about, you know, guys doing a great job of blocking, and they are. But if you – it's like, why am I going to go out here and do whatever it is, said job, if you're not going to pay me for said job? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm working my tail off, you know, for however many years, and you don't give me a raise, so why am I doing this job? I'm doing great when you give me an opportunity, so why am I doing this job? Same thing with Chris Moore. He's gone out there and he has proven he can make a big play for you. He's working his ass off, blocking, doing all these things you're asking him to do. You even rave about him, but you don't target him in the game. That makes a receiver like, dude, what am I doing here then? You know? So they're going to have to find a way moving forward, allowing D-Hop to still get his touches, but allowing these other guys, the other receivers, to feel as if they're part of the game.
And it is tough, too, when you're dealing with a rookie quarterback who's trying to get acclimated and comfortable into the game. It's not – I don't think it's as easy to tell Will Levis, hey, we're going to have to get some of these more get these guys involved versus a Tannehill. That's like, well, yeah, I got it.
Tannehill will know. Like, Tannehill, he's one of those quarterbacks, a veteran quarterback player. You go, you're like, okay, this guy over here hadn't been targeted all day. Mm-hmm. I need to – get him the ball at least once or twice.
Conscious awareness. A veteran
quarterback can do that.
Right.
A rookie quarterback, he's so just focused in on what the coaches are telling him to do. That's where he's going first, which leads to some of his mistakes. It's like, yeah, they're telling you to throw it over here, mm-hmm. but sometimes you got to buck the system and know that this guy, just like on the, you know, the single coverage to D-Hop on the post, where he could have hit him if he'd have waited a little bit longer. He could have hit him, and it would have been wide open and probably a touchdown. No, but he's so zeroed in on what I have to do over here that he didn't even pay attention to the single coverage on the other side.
There was one thing you said that I want to get into, and you mentioned how a lot of Treylon Burks' drops were uncontested drops. Maybe some were mental mistakes. Treylon Burks came into a really difficult position with the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you trade A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. You essentially come in here as the next A.J. Brown. That's not an easy position to come into. You come in here, and you're supposed to be the guy. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be the go-to. Last year, there just wasn't enough around the entire offense to allow him to really thrive, and he was set back with injury, which, you know, not his fault, but still, your best ability is your availability. Mm-hmm. Now, you come into year two. He put a lot of pressure on himself, which I think is obvious by how much commitment he showed in the offseason and staying here, taking the Cessna plane mm-hmm. to make sure that he got back for non-mandatory OTAs, mm-hmm. that he wanted to take that next step forward, that he could prove that he could be the guy, but keeps getting set back. Do you think that's kind of a mental thing for Treylon Burks that's maybe getting in the middle of him and his real potential, what he is expected to be here, was just that mental wearing on him of, I need to be the guy. Everyone expects me to be the guy.
I can see a bit of that happening, especially, you know, in this situation where, you know, he's fought his tail off to make sure that he's in football shape, NFL football shape, ready to go. That first season is always a difficult one. Mm-hmm. And I addressed that last year with him. Like, listen, you don't understand what these – like, some guys can, you know, get it, go, hit the ground running. Some receivers can do that. I think Treylon could have did that. But, you know, after you go through the combine and you go through these individual workouts, you're not working out to play a season. You're not. You're working out to position yourself to get a better – you know,
to run fast in your underwear.
Yeah, you position yourself to run fast in your underwear and to, you know, get a bigger paycheck. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what it is. You know, you get you drafted high, you get more money. So you work, you know, like 2 to 3 months on just doing that alone. You're not working on, you know, being the best condition, you know, athlete that you can be. You're working on specific things that you know will help you move up in the draft. And then once you get into camp, it's like, oh, my goodness, this camp is hard. Like, mm-hmm. I forgot how hard, you know, camp was. Why?
And I'm now a teeny tiny fish in a massive pond, right? Coming from my college where I was the guy.
Exactly. So when that happens, you struggle that first year, and injuries may get him, it may be a part of it. And that's what, you know, Traylon, he wasn't in shape. At least he wasn't in the shape he needed to be mm-hmm. in to play in this league. He dealt with injury. So all of that sort of compounded, and you come back the next year, you do all this stuff, you're there every day, you're in shape, you're ready to go, and then you have an injury. And not even in a preseason game.
It's frustrating.
It's during practice, a joint practice with mm-hmm. the Minnesota Vikings. It has to be frustrating on him because I'm sure, you know, not necessarily from the people close to him, but if he has a social media or whatever, I'm sure there has been, you know, on his feed, you were, you know, A.J. Brown replacement, and they traded away A.J. Brown to get you, and you're not producing, all this stuff. So I'm sure from a psyche standpoint that had to wear on – that has to wear him on him somewhat. Because, listen, Kevin Dyson went through it, you know, when he got drafted in 98. You know, he got drafted before Randy Moss, and then you saw all of the success that Randy Moss had, and you – innately, you feel the pressure like, man, this guy's having all this success, and I'm not. It wasn't that he wasn't – that he was playing bad. He just wasn't having the success. Two different offenses. Mm-hmm. He just was – and everybody always compared Dice to Randy Moss based upon the numbers.
Yeah.
Well, they were in two different offenses. Kevin Dyson was still a hell of a receiver, and had he not gotten hurt – He would have made a lot of plays for the mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans, so I'm sure that's what Traylon Burks is going through. So I mean, that could be a part of it, but then again, I go back to guys are going to drop footballs, okay? Mm-hmm. But the problem is this: when you don't get targeted much and you drop a pass or two, now it gets magnified. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're only targeting you, what, two times a game.
And they might only be targeting you two times a game because you can't hold on to football.
Exactly. Well, that could be a part of it. I don't think that's a part of it. I just think for whatever reason, they just – I don't know. They just hadn't gotten him – they hadn't gotten him the ball. And I don't want to – because it's not necessarily D-Hop's fault, but it is D-Hop's fault. In a sense, because he's the alpha dog in the room. You know what I'm saying? And he's the guy that deserves and you know, he has proven I need to be targeted because I'm going to catch the ball.
Because he makes plays.
Exactly. So that takes some of the food off of Traylon Burks' table.
Which I thought could be a good thing. That if you're dealing with this psyche of I have to be the guy of everybody's, you know, you traded A.J. Brown for me and now everybody's expecting me to be A.J. Brown. Is that an unfair expectation? Absolutely it is.
But some guys don't handle that well.
And some guys don't handle that well. Yeah. So part of me wonders, can Traylon Burks ever be what this team expected him to be while he's here? Or is the pressure of being that guy here just too much for him? And we'll continue that conversation coming up next. I'll ask that same question to the callers, the texters, and listeners as well. When is it time to just say, hey, it's not working out here? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators taking on John Hines and the Minnesota Wild tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game show starts right here on 102.5 and 106.3. The game right at 6 p.m. And you can join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D. Mace at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pre-game show. They'll break down the Titans Week 13 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pre-game show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. D. Mace, unless you have some thoughts?
Let's go to the phone.
Let's go to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tommy Texan says, D. Mace, J.J. Watt said on his Patriot show that when the season is lost, players do start thinking about the offseason and more personal stats because they know the Super Bowl is out of reach. They do want to win, but in reality, their personal stats become a priority on the fact of their job. Did you play with guys like that on any team or any me players and not just team players? I feel like this Titans team cares less than Vrabel does about winning. Now that we're out of it, I think he's lost this team.
You know, see, that's kind of tricky. Because, you know, when you start talking about guys and their stats, you know, it is a me, but that me ultimately affects the we.
I think there's a me and a we, and that's no matter what.
That's what I'm trying to allude to. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless if we're winning or losing, there's a me that will affect the we. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't want the me to you know, just like engulf the we. But if I play well and I am one of the marquee players, then more than likely we are going to benefit from it and we are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you get in this point of the season and you know that, you know, your season is you're not going to the playoffs, there is that flip of, and I think I did mention that, of guys playing for their jobs, mm-hmm. guys playing for contracts. Guys playing for incentives. It doesn't matter. But it doesn't – when it starts to overshadow and, you know, sort of infiltrate the locker room, then that's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fault a guy for wanting to go out there and do the best that he possibly can because he understands and knows that if that happens, I get a bigger paycheck next year. So you can have guys on your team that, you know – that want to, you know, up their stats. You can have that, but it can't disrupt the locker room. It just can't disrupt. It can't be the theme of the locker room. It can't be the talk of the locker room. When we get on the field, yes, I want to catch the ball every time. Every time you throw it to me, critical situations, I want to be the one to catch the ball. Why? Because I've proven that. So when things like that happen during the season. It's not about necessarily – it's about me, but it's about us also.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to help us win football games? Well, either as a running back, give me the ball more. As a receiver, let me catch the ball more. As a, you know, a quarterback, it's like let me throw the ball more, do some things. So sometimes the eye doesn't – it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when it starts to affect the we. That's when it becomes bad. All these guys in the NFL, I don't care who you, they're I guys, like mm-hmm. me, but they don't allow, like if they don't get their numbers, they're not going to fuss about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get the win, it's great. But if I play well, that means more times than not, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't fault a guy for being a me person, but if the me helps we, then we're good.
And being concerned about yourself and your future and your contract
exactly.
doesn't make you a me guy. It's when you put your contract above the team, when you let the money that you make or the contract that you do or do not have get in the way of doing what you can to help the football team win games. So there is an element of me in every team sport. And I need to do what I have to do
exactly.
to help the team win. It's not always about me, but I have to think about me.
Well, coaches say it all the time. Listen. Do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your job is, do it. Don't worry about everybody else's job.
Take care of yourself.
Exactly. Take care of – so I think this whole me thing has been blown out of proportion. I think this you know, me is a – it's been used so many times as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, it's not a bad thing. If this guy doesn't perform, what happens to him? He get cut.
Yeah.
He got to go to another team, you know. He doesn't get a new contract. So don't let these people in these professional leagues make you think that it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the head coach is about him and winning football games, but he need y'all to do it. Quarterbacks, it's about them and going out there and making sure the team, you know, is in the best position possible. Quarterback, receiver, it's about me, but I got to make sure I do my job so then it affects everybody else in a positive way. We're going to get a win out of it more than likely. If I go out there and the quarterback throws me, you know, 2 9 balls, If I catch both of them, great for me, but it also, what is it? Great for the team.
Right.
So I think people throw that. Sometimes coaches use that, and that's not really the deal. Like, all these guys at one point were me guys. Why? Because they wanted to get a contract. That's basically, if I play well, I'm going to get a bigger contract.
Right.
If the team, if I don't play well and the team plays well, they're not going to give me a new contract. They're going to ship me off somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So why can't I, you know, be about me playing well in order to help the team?
Mike Texan says, Demas expressed concern previously that Burks doesn't have that dog in him. Do you believe that?
I'd never question whether – I don't think I've ever questioned whether he had the dog in him. And if I did, I think that was last year. I don't think I've ever questioned it this year. And if I have, you know, I stand corrected, believe me. I think he does have it in him. He just hasn't been on the field enough. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't been in a position where he's been able to consistently display that. Like, if he was catching 4, 5, 6 balls a game, then I think you would see more of his personality come out. And I'm not saying he has this boisterous personality. I'm just saying you will see what many saw at Arkansas. And that's why the Titans drafted him.
Blowing past defenders.
Exactly. Bullying people. Yeah. Running up. Yeah, that, you know, we would see more of that. But, you know, I think he does. But, you know, he just has to be out there more.
Which is also in and of itself a problem.
Exactly.
That he's not out there enough.
Absolutely.
All right, let's pick some underdogs coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.